Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito on 670 The Score, a Radio.com sports station.
And we are back on The Scorecard. 670 The Score is where you are at. Mike Esposito, Barry Cronin here with you on your Saturday morning. 6 to 8 every Saturday morning, and we're glad that you are with us. This week's tour event, Barry, down in Memphis, the World Golf Championship FedEx St. Jude Invitational, and our current leader in said tournament is Brendan Todd. He's two strokes up on Ricky Fowler, 11 under par. Fowler at 9 under. And I know, you know, we have certainly talked on this show, Barry, about Ricky Fowler and, you know, the his trials and tribulations and as he goes about trying to win a tournament. But Fowler certainly seems to be putting together some nice golf recently.
Right. And he's trying to, you know, solidify his place in the FedEx Cup playoff, you know, top guys that can sustain it through. And I think the other element of this, you know, there's a few things going on this week, Mike. A, you've got the tournament. B, you've got people who are trying to improve their FedEx Cup ranking so that they can get through the entire, all three playoffs, you know, without having to sweat it too much. And then you've got next week is the PGA Championship. So you have guys trying to prepare for that on kind of a different golf course. So Mickelson is playing. He likes to play the week before a major. And, of course, Koepka is going to be defending champion next week of the PGA, two-time champion. So there's a lot going on. Guys are preparing for next week while having an eye on this week. And this is a big event, this WGC event, too. Typically, you know, the week before a major is not a big event like this. You know, it's typically a less prominent event. You know, like, for example, for years, the Houston Open was played the week before the Masters. Mm-hmm. And guys would go down there to play the Houston Open because the golf course superintendent and the tournament director made the conditions the playing conditions is similar to Augusta as they could, so they could use that tournament as a warm-up. Well, this is not going to be exactly that because, you know, Memphis in July is a little bit different, in August is a little bit different than San Francisco in August. So it's not quite the same type of deal. So, yep. You know, there's a lot happening.
And it's a nice field, as we talked about, and there's a nice big $10.5 million purse attached to this tournament as well. But you look up and down that leaderboard, and you mentioned Phil Mickelson. We mentioned some of the other big names there. They're prepping. They're trying to get their games revved up for the PGA next week.
Well, you know, and they're not the only ones who are prepping. You know, we tend to all of us tend to gravitate toward the brand name guys. But you have a guy like Brendan Todd who's leading, and you got a guy like Ben Ahn who's T3, Ches Reavy who's never on TV, Sung Kang, you know, I mean, and Sungjae Im who was the most consistent player on the PGA Tour last year. Those guys are all in the top 10, and we don't focus on them quite as much because they're not the kind of the glamour guys But but they're getting ready for the PGA Championship too. And the one thing I should want to mention is that the winner of last year's Evans Scholars Invitational on the Korn Ferry Tour, Scottie Scheffler, is tied for 12th. So he's playing well. So like we said, Shane Lowry, he's T15. You know, he can improve his status if he wants to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Barry, sorry to cut you off there. Let's head on down to Memphis. Yep. Let's jump onto the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. We talked to our friend Rex Hoggard from GolfChannel.com. Good morning, Rex.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Rex,
great.
Welcome back, my friend. That way you're back. It's like a boomerang. Quick.
Yeah, I am.
We're glad to have you, man.
Return
engagement. Thanks so much for doing it. Really appreciate it. Hey, Rex, we were just talking about how this tournament's kind of a lot going on. Number one, you've got the tournament itself. You've got guys who are trying to improve their status for the FedEx Cup playoffs coming up. And then you have the preparation for the PGA Championship next week at Harding Park. How do you kind of break that all down?
Yeah, it's a busy week. And I think it normally is, you know. Look at the way this tournament is actually where it's supposed to be played, unlike a lot of other tournaments that we're going to that had to get rescheduled or postponed. And I think part of it, I mean, you certainly have guys like Brooks Koepka is probably a perfect example. I mean, he's the defending champion this week. He's a defending champion next week. Certainly he's thinking about Harding Park and playing in the year's first major. But there's also the fact he's 155th in the FedEx Cup points list right now. And he's got to do something with just three events left if he's going to even make it into the playoffs, let alone help his status going into it, trying to make sure he gets to East Lake for the tour championship. So yeah, there's a lot going on this week.
Yeah. And Brendan Todd at 11 under is certainly playing well. He's your leader and two shots up on Ricky Fowler. His short game work has been really good. How do you see him playing, or how have you seen him playing, this week and certainly recently in terms of how he has been improving as we've gone along here?
Well, he's an amazing comeback story. I mean, you're talking about a guy that not that long ago didn't even have a tour card. And then you can make an argument that before the pandemic closed down the tour in March, he was the best player on tour, if not one of the best players on tour. And I think that when everything shut down, and I think a lot of players probably went through this, he struggled to get back. He didn't play his best golf, you know, at the beginning of the restart in June. But since then, I think he's kind of found something. He put himself into a hunt just a couple weeks ago at the 3M. And I think that gave him a little bit more confidence, reminded him the way he was playing. And now he's doing what he really has done. So he's one of only three players this season who's won twice on the PGA Tour. And he did it. He's doing it specifically because of his short game. And you saw that yesterday. I mean, I think he pretty much made everything inside 15 feet. It was pretty amazing.
And what's up with Koepka? I saw him miss those short putts yesterday, and he was leading, and then he missed those little three footers, a couple of them, and just seemed like he kind of fell away. What's going on with him this week? We heard about his knee being bothered, and we kind of wrote him off, and now all of a sudden he shoots 62. And what's going on with him?
Well, I think this goes way beyond just this week. I mean, you can make an argument that this has been going on for a year. I mean, if you go back to last year here in Memphis at this tournament, that was probably the last time he was really 100% healthy, 100% confident. You keep going on and on down the list. Ever since then, things haven't been going well for him. And it's primarily because of his knee. It's his left knee. And he injured it late last year in Korea at the tournament. And it's just not better. I even asked him this week if he even considered surgery. And he said it's just the tear isn't severe enough that he can get surgery on it right now. Now, what happened on Thursday that didn't happen on Friday, you pointed it out. It was putting. I mean, his ball striking was the same, pretty much the same both days. But I think he gained a little over three strokes on Thursday and lost almost four strokes on the greens on Friday, which is interesting because you're kind of curious what happens. And he kind of had an impromptu session with Phil Kenyon, who's one of the putting gurus, very good guy out here on the PGA Tour, and he made some big changes on Wednesday afternoon. And on Thursday, they seemed to work, but then yesterday, I just think it was a matter of he's not 100% comfortable with them. And you guys know as well as I do that anytime you're going to make wholesale changes at the 11th hour with the tournament the very next day, it's going to take some time. And you probably shouldn't expect great results right out of the gate. But if you look at his ball strike, he's certainly playing well enough to contend.
Rex Hoggard is our guest, senior writer from GolfChannel.com. Rex, Ricky Fowler, two shots back. He has not won in more than a year, but he's lurking. And you know, we talk about, you were just talking about Koepka, but Fowler certainly a guy capable of putting together a good final 2 days here.
He is, and I actually walked with his group because he was playing with John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau on Thursday, and I was just curious, you know, the dynamic between those three, and probably of those three, and we all know, you know, Bryson and the experiment, how far he hits it. But I walked away from that group thinking to myself, how impressive Ricky hit it. Yeah, he didn't miss any fairways, he didn't miss any greens, and he still is probably one of the best putters when he's hot on the PGA Tour. And that kind of all came together, and I think that's what we're seeing out of Ricky. And it's taken a little while. I talked about, you know, Phil Kenyon and Brooks Koepka working on his putting, and it's going to take a little while to get comfortable with it. If you look at where Ricky is right now with his game, he didn't split. I mean, Butch Harmon decided just not to be on tour anymore, so Ricky had to find someone to work with, and he went with John Tillery, and it's just taken a while for those two to maybe get on the same page, is the way I would say it. And I think both of them are happy with where they're at, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
Hey, Rex, you had a little item the other day about Davis Love. No longer the Davis Love era at CBS, which didn't really last that long, is now over. It looks like Faldo and Nabilo and Baker Finch are going to be at Harding Park next week. They won't be in the Golf Channel studios. So what happened with Davis and what do you make of what's happening with CBS in the future here?
Well, I think for Davis's part, I mean, he was kind of thrown into a job that he probably wasn't prepared for. If he's being honest, he would tell you that. I remember talking to him early on the West Coast at Torrey Pines, and him kind of just being blown away with the technology. You know, which button am I supposed to push on a test? And I just think, you know, we kind of all go through it. And it's funny, I normally don't like to write stories like this, because being in TV, I wouldn't want anyone to write a story about me.
Right.
But I think in this particular case, Davis probably wanted to kind of get it off his chest. And if you look at the way everything transpired just with the pandemic, and he was kind of thrown into three separate jobs over a very, very short amount of time. So they put him on course, and then they put him in the tower, which is probably where he was destined anyway. And then the pandemic hit, and then they ended up putting him kind of in a closet in Orlando, as you just pointed out, because that's the way we've had to do it because of social distancing guidelines. So the talent's been going there. And so he had to learn three different jobs pretty much in a very short amount of time. And you throw the pandemic in there, you throw in the fact that his house burnt down to the ground just a couple months ago. And I just think he realized that it wasn't for him right now. I mean, he certainly left the door open for more TV work. And I think he also realizes that he misses competing, that it's hard for those guys to get it out of their blood. And I don't think it's out of Davis's blood right now. As far as what CBS is going to do, I was glad they're sending the guys next week to Harding Park. I think there is a difference on the telecast between the people who are on property and the people who are not. And that's not a knock. It's simply just sort of the energy and the flow of what happens when you're in the booth with someone when you're at a tournament. And it will be interesting going forward, like who steps in for Davis. I read a story yesterday. I think Kelly Tillman, an old colleague of mine on the channel, she's going to be doing some work for CBS next week. So it'll be a fun broadcast.
Well, and Rex, I'm curious too, because you mentioned the difference between, you know, being at the event versus being remote. How have you noticed in the few months we've been going here as a guy who is covering tournaments, how have you noticed the experience and the different protocols that the PGA Tour has in place?
Well, first, I mean, you have to give complete credit and you know, a healthy hand, a healthy round of applause to what the PGA Tour has done. And like, I would be the first to criticize the PGA Tour if I felt like they needed to criticize. They don't. Like, what they've been able to do with this comeback and the protocols and everything that's gone into this has created a program that we have had positive tests, and I think everyone knew. I mean, we weren't going to do this without positive tests. But when you look at what's happening in baseball and the outbreak, or whatever you want to call it this week with the Miami Marlins, and the fact that golf has somehow been able to avoid that is nothing short of amazing, at least in my opinion, when you consider that we're really not in a bubble. We're kind of in more of a traveling circus, and there's no way to keep everyone 100% safe. So that part of it, it's been amazing, and I think everyone's appreciative that we can get back to work. But Rory probably said it best this week when he was kind of asked about the different vibes, and more specifically to next week, but certainly from tournament to tournament. And he just said, without fans, every tournament's starting to feel like the same place. And I know that sounds a little harsh, and you know, I don't think he meant it that way at all. I think the point is that the fans sort of make the individual atmosphere. And you can certainly make an argument that the patrons at Augusta are a huge part of that tournament, just like the fans at U.S. Open at Wingfoot in New York are going to be what makes that U.S. Open in a couple weeks. And next week would be no different. And I think his point is, and I think you specifically see it more on the weekend, like late Saturday, certainly late Sunday. If you have an exciting finish and you don't have the fans there, there is sort of a surreal feeling to it.
You know, and I know that the tour announced last week that at least for these type of events, they were going to allow a few more fans, like honorary observers and wives and girlfriends, etc. Have you seen any of that, any evidence of that, or is everybody just staying away?
No. Lots of wives, lots of girlfriends this week, and this is the first week they're allowed to do that. They started honorary observers this week as well. This is the first week, and they pretty much follow the same rules that I do, actually. There's still ropes up at tournaments. You've probably seen them, and everyone has to stay outside the ropes. So there's plenty of just miles and miles of room. So they don't get anywhere close to the players. So it's a good program to start. I think they also started what they're calling a guest program, and that starts in 2 weeks at the Wyndham Championship. And all of this is trying to get something closer towards fans. And, you know, I think the U.S. Open announced this week that there won't be any fans at that championship. So now you start looking down the road, probably the Masters, right, is the next one. And I think if anybody can do it, it's going to be the Masters. You know, they can figure out a way to at least have a limited footprint on property, but it does make a difference. And certainly it makes a huge financial difference to tournaments. So the tour's going to keep moving in that direction, but they're going to move slowly, obviously.
Yeah. And no pro-ams again this week, but you know, the LPGA is starting back up this week, and they're going to have pro-ams because they need the money.
And the PGA Tour Champions started back this week, and they have pro-ams. And I think the last event or two, at least on the Korn Ferry Tour, I think have had pro-ams. So, again, you're trending in that direction. But certainly when you talk about the PGA Tour and coming back and the TV revenue that was at stake, that, yes, it makes financial sense for the PGA Tour to continue to hold events. What doesn't make financial sense is for tournaments to have actual events without fans. And I did this story months ago at the beginning of the pandemic, and I don't think I ever realized this, but I mean, the tournaments themselves, I think 85% was about the number I got of their revenue comes from pro-ams and fans and more corporate boxes, you know, everything that goes into that. And without that, I mean, you still have expenses, but you just don't have any revenue. So it's been difficult and pretty much impossible for some events. I mean, Barry, I don't have to tell you, at John Deere. So I think that some tournaments have had to make tough decisions, and I hope that the tour is helping them out. But yeah, the sooner we can get back to pro-ams and something close to a small footprint of fans, the better for the tournament.
Last minute or two here with Rex Hoggard, senior writer from golfchannel.com. Back to Koepka for a second, if you don't mind, Rex. I get a kick out of it, right? Because the confidence is always there, regardless of you know, how what the result is out on the course. Even after yesterday's round, he basically blamed his putting and said, "Hey, you know what? I'm good. I still have another 36 holes to go." But I got a kick out of something that I saw that you tweeted out earlier this week about the PGA next week, and he's like, basically like, "Hey, I'm the defending champion. I'm good. I'll be there. I'm ready to go."
Yeah, and actually, it was about both weeks. So back to back weeks. Someone asked him something about, has his confidence been hurt? And his response was, "I'm the defending champion, right?" And it was, you know, it's quintessential Brooks. I mean, some people like that, some people don't. I think there's something to be said for the athlete in there that I don't think he's any different than you would find in any other team sport. It kind of sits a little bit differently when it comes to golf, because we're not sort of used to that swagger, I guess is what I would call it. And probably the best part is, and this on Thursday, Brooks had talked about, he hadn't worked with his swing coach. He also works with Claude Harmon III, but he hadn't worked with Pete Cowan, who's from England, in a long time because of the pandemic. So last weekend was the first time he could work with Pete. And I guess they had a sit down on Sunday, and it wasn't a very enjoyable conversation. This was from Brooks, not from Pete. Well, I ended up finding Pete. He was on property, and I asked him, and he actually kind of gave me some details. Most of it was profane, and then there was a lot of tough love. And one of the lines that stood out that Pete told him was, with an attitude like that, you're not going to win anything. And it's amazing to me that I could see anyone having a conversation with their son like that. However, when you're talking about a guy who's won four majors and has the swagger that we just talked about, and it resonated. And it was just fascinating to me that this also goes to Brooks's sort of athlete's mentality, that's kind of a locker room mentality. That someone needed to sit him down and get in his face and tell him that, no, you're not doing this right. You're not going to win because you're not thinking clearly. And that it worked, at least for one round. And maybe it will, as he pointed out, he has 36 holes. But I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
All right, Rex. Well, I tell you what, we appreciate you jumping on. And we certainly appreciate your contributions several times now here on the scorecard. And I know golfchannel.com won't let us call you our roving correspondent, but we really appreciate your time, as always, for talking to us from these events. That's really nice.
And everybody should read golfchannel.com and read Rex on there, because he keeps up with everything, and he's a terrific writer.
I appreciate it, guys. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Rex.
Thanks.
Rex Hoggard from golfchannel.com. You find him on Twitter, as Barry and I both have, and it is entertaining and enjoyable Twitter stuff. Rex Hoggard GC is the at there on Twitter. It's always fascinating to me, Barry, and you know, Rex hit it, and it's definitely, you know, a lot of, and I think this attitude has certainly changed over the years, certainly in the modern game of golf, where people don't necessarily think, when you think of, you know, elite athletes, you don't necessarily think of pro golfers. But I think that has certainly changed, and certainly the mentality, the way they go about their business, it is very similar to what guys in other sports do. The work is put in, the confidence is there. Sometimes you get in your own head, and you got to get out of your own head before you can get back to playing well.
Well, when it's different when you look at just thinking about, you know, even Tiger Woods, and go back to Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. I mean, Jack Nicklaus was a high school basketball player. I mean, these guys were jocks. But when you put them in, you know, you put them in slacks and a V-neck sweater, they look like your dad. Okay, so they don't look, and with just the way they dress, they don't look like jocks, right? A jock wears a team uniform, wears a baseball player, a football player, basketball player. You know, and they run around, right? Mm-hmm. Golfers are not running around. So people say, and I said as a kid, well, that's not a sport. I mean, how can that be a sport? It's not. But since Tiger got into the weightlifting and et cetera and getting in shape, that's really kind of taken over the PGA Tour. I mean, you can see a little guy like Rory McIlroy, you can see him. You know, he's only 5'9", and he's but you could just tell he's pumping iron, and he's got a weightlifting coach, et cetera, and they all do. And Kepka's a big dude, and Dustin Johnson, and they all are. No matter who, you know, even Jordan Spieth. You know, I mean, you look at him when he came out of college, and now you look at him now. I mean, they have to be in the gym. They have to, because they have to hit it farther, and when they travel. I mean, you know, that you've got to be in great shape to do all that. So,
well, and you think about it, Barry, I think at one point it was really only the hitting sports, you know, your footballs and maybe your hockeys, where there was a lot of weightlifting. You still had normal looking guys, and in baseball, basketball, you didn't have the huge physiques, and certainly in golf. I think all of that has changed for the better over the past 20 or 30 years. So, certainly good stuff there from Rex. We appreciate his time. We will come back. And before we are out of here at 8, we'll get a bit of a preview for next week's PGA Championship, and talk to former Illinoisan who's now working out there at TPC Harding Park, the head pro there, Andy Stodera. We'll talk to him before we are out of here on the scorecard on 670 The Score.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're back. Scorecard on 670 The Score. Mike Esposito, Barry Cronin with you till 8 o'clock. And we're down in Memphis, Barry.
Jimmy Rogers, Chicago bound.
We are down in Memphis. St. Jude Invitational, and our leaderboard is quite impressive. Brendan Todd is up there. Ricky Fowler in second, and then a bunch of other guys within a few shots. So we're looking at a nice finish this weekend, and we just finished talking with Rex Hoggard from GolfChannel.com about the leaderboard and the tournament and really what's going on the tour. It's very interesting to me. I mean, here we are. And actually, I mean, how about it, Barry? Time flies when you're having fun. This is we've been doing shows now for 2 months. The tour's been back for just about that same amount of time. And after, you know, some, I don't even know what you call it, some issues at the beginning with, you know, guys testing positive, the guys certainly seem to be following the protocols well. We have not had to talk about COVID for a few weeks. And, you know, thankfully for golf fans around the world, it certainly seems like the plan is working here on the PGA Tour.
Right, and you can just see how different a sport golf is from, say, baseball, where guys are hanging around locker rooms. They might be going out to dinner together, or you know, to the local watering hole, and you know, the golfers, I don't think they're hanging in the locker room too much. You know, they usually don't. They might go in, change their shoes, but they're not hanging around taking a shower in the locker room with, you know, 25 other guys or whatever it is. You know. They're basically going back to the hotel, and you know, they're not like football players where they're out there getting the heck beat out of them and need to take a shower after the game. And same thing with the basketball players. You know, they're just not hanging around that whole locker room atmosphere. They're not close. It's an individual sport, so they are. It is working for them, and hopefully, you know, hopefully it will work this week coming up with the LPGA. They're having their first tournament since February 16th, the Australian Open, and they're going to be at Inverness Country Club in Toledo, Ohio. The LPGA Drive-On Championship, 54 holes and $1 million purse. And it's going to be great for the ladies. They really need these tournaments. They're getting starved on that tour, and they really need to get back.
And Danielle Kang leading at 600 par there, the tournament that you just mentioned, Barry, the Drive-On Championship in Toledo. So good to see the LPG back out there. And as you mentioned, I mean, you know, everyone needs to get back out there in some way or another. So certainly good to see them doing so. And it's funny that you mentioned two locker rooms, Barry, because we had a doctor, and the guy's name escapes me on the score earlier this week, but basically comparing, you know, existing in locker rooms or clubhouses or whatever with teammates or with fellow athletes, you know, as, you know, kind of, if you imagine Pigpen from the Peanuts, you know, with a cloud of dust surrounding him, he's like, that's what it's like in a locker room.
Absolutely.
It's good that we can certainly in the golf scene here, keep the guys outside, keep them, you know, distance. And I know that was definitely one of the complaints on certainly the baseball side, where it's like, well, you know, it's a rain delay, Anthony Rizzo and the Cubs, where are we congregating? We're all sitting in the dugout, or, you know, the Florida Marlins. I certainly saw some of that as well. So,
I think the tour is doing a good job of testing. They're doing the testing, and until your test comes back negative, you're not allowed on the property. Whereas the first couple of weeks, they were allowing them to kind of be on the property and wait for the test to come back. And so, you know, and then they had that outbreak, and then they changed their protocol. So, you know, look, if everybody on the baseball team has been tested that morning and they're out there and it's a bubble, and then truly nobody's positive in the locker room, then you're okay. But it all depends, because as we've said before on this show, amateur epidemiologist, I am. You know, if you could be tested yesterday, and you know, you go into a grocery store and somehow get it. I guess you can. I don't know, but you know, or somehow get it and then come back in the locker room the next day and give it to 10 people. So it's the contagious nature of this of this disease that's so frustrating for everybody. So
right. Well, let's get back to the game, and we've talked about Brendan Todd and Rex mentioned, you know, Todd, really a great story, a guy who I don't want to say came from nowhere, but he certainly had not been playing good golf. I'm reading in, here and in my notes, he had missed 37 of 41 cuts, you know, going back several years, obviously, but starting last November, and he has been, I believe, and don't, you know, Rex will not want me quoting him, but I want to say the phrase he used is he could have been the best player in golf before the shutdown. He was one of the hottest players in golf, certainly before the touchdown. He has 10 rounds, 65 or better this season, which is amazing.
Right, and he won two events. He's already won two tournaments this year.
Yep.
And you know, and he's doing it, you know, because he can, because he hits the ball straight in the fairway, and he and he can scramble, so he doesn't hit it too far. I think he's averaging 280 off the tee, whereas a guy like Bryson is 325, and he's hitting three wood half the time. You know, whenever you see him, when you see him, it's amazing how many times you see him on a tee box hitting three wood, and then he hits it 300 yards. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
So, but just proving that you don't have to hit it that far in order to win. You have to be able to get up and down and scramble. And, you know, Bryson hasn't been hitting a lot of fairways. This guy, Todd, has been hitting, I think, 67% of his fairways, which is terrific. And Fowler's hitting a lot of, I think Fowler was maybe at 80%, I think I saw. But, I mean, he's hitting it great. So, you know, Fowler really is, he would be a great guy to have win the PGA next week. You know, he's a California guy. He's a great figure in golf, and everybody expects him to win. We've been expecting him to win for years, and I just think that would be a great storyline. He's a great guy. He's been obviously done a lot for the game, and so that would be very cool. I'm kind of rooting for him next week.
I am as well, and it's nice to see him playing well. He had missed the cut in three of his past five starts, so good to see Ricky back and playing well. And speaking of the PGA, Barry, we will head on out to San Fran next in our next segment and talk to Andy Stoterow. He is the head pro at TPC Harding Park. That is the site of next week's PGA Championship. We will talk to Andy next. It's Barry and Mike here on 670 The Score. And we're back here on The Scorecard on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito, glad to have you along with us. And JT, that's right. Well, we have to have Memphis music, right, Barry, when we
Memphis-born, Justin Timberlake.
When we're talking about the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational, that's been a big part of today's show. And a big part of next week's show undoubtedly will be the PGA Championship, which is happening next week. And we are pleased, we're very pleased now, to head on out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. There we find Andy Stoterow. He is the head pro at Harding Park and the former head pro at Deer Run. And Barry, an old friend of the program.
Right. Hi, Andy. Great to talk to you. Thank you very much. We know that you're, you know, it's about 5:40 in the morning, so I know you're probably up and you've done your 2 mile jog by now.
That's right.
You know, I just want to give the folks a little bit of a little compare and contrast here. You were at, for 10 years, you were at TPC Deer Run. It's a market of 375,000 people. Now you're in the 12th largest market in the country. 12 million people. So it's a compare and contrast type of thing. So welcome on the show, Andy. How's it going?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. It's going great. Sun's about ready to rise. I'm getting ready to head into work. We're busy. We got a lot going on. We got a big week ahead of us.
Yeah. What are you doing to what are you doing to prepare, Andy? And what are your duties out there?
Yeah, so PGA Championship next week, and right now it's final stages. If you've ever seen a course get ready for a big event, you know, it's like you never think it's going to get done, and then next thing you know it is, right? So there's a lot of folks working around the clock, getting tents set up, getting spaces set. It's a different environment this year than it has been, as we all know, right? So The build is a little different. The practice facility is a little different. The locker room is extremely different. And, you know, so we've been, it's been a year of changes, and we're feeling it all the way up to the end. But we're starting to get players on property, and it's starting to get a little exciting. I got to wear a credential today, so I know that's the start.
you're official then with that credential on, Andy.
That's right.
No, and we were talking about Brooks Koepka earlier in the show because he's playing well at this weekend's tournament down in Memphis, but trying to do something next week that has not been done in nearly 100 years, you know, the repeat champion going for the old three-peat.
You know, Brooks actually started a little rough, you know, first few weeks back, but it's good to see him playing well in Memphis. Harding Park is you have to drive the ball well. And I think if Brooks can, you know, he's got the length, if he can get his driver down, then it's all about the greens. But I think Brooks has got a great chance. I think Rory's got a great chance. I, you know, the field is great. It's typically the best field in the year, and I think it's going to be no different this year too.
Andy, sometimes the guys try to get out to the major championship sites and play the course, you know, whenever a month before or whatever. Has that been happening this year? Did it happen maybe earlier during the West Coast swing, or what have you seen?
You know, Barry, good question. We did not see it. And I think a lot of it had to do with just the way the year has played out. But with that said, you know, we are a municipal golf course, which makes us very unique. And we play almost 70,000 rounds on Harding. We got another 9-hole golf course that plays about 30. So, you know, we're just so busy. The First Tee of San Francisco is in our building. We got such an active restaurant. So it's a packed house, like, all the time. And I think it's a little bit different for the tour player to come out to that while we're kind of just rocking and rolling, right? And so we've been shut down for 3 weeks. We're kind of thinking we'd maybe see some guys out before that. But, you know, with the condensed schedule now, we got a huge event right in front of us with the WGC. You're just not – and then the European tour players, whether they're staying home or they're coming, but if they're coming over, they got a quarantine for 14 days, or at least they did. And so with all that, we've seen very few people come play us before. And so really most of these guys, unless they played in 2015, they will see Harding Park for the first time. And it's a different golf course than it was in 15. It's firmer. It's faster. The rough is much longer than it was. And we've rerouted a bunch of fairways. We've added 5 tee boxes. So we've added a bunch of length. And I think it's just going to be—it's going to be a different game than it was for match play, and those guys that played it back in 15.
Well, and Andy, we've talked about the guys using this week's tournament not as a tune-up, because obviously, as you said, it's a big tournament in its own right, but certainly the PGA is one of the tent poles of the year for the tour. And, you know, the timing is different, right? I mean, normally this is toward the end of the season, and now here we are at the beginning of the season, or I don't want beginning, but, you know, kind of in the early middle of the season, I guess it is.
Right. So, you know, originally we were set to play this in May, and I, to be honest with you, very fortunate to be playing this at all and feeling very good about what's going to come up next week. But what happened with the change for us and you know, contrast of country, but Memphis, it's just hot as blazes down there. And then you're going to come up here. And right now I'm sitting in a fog layer. We hope to see the sun today. It's going to be the mid to upper 50s, maybe a little breeze. And the ball's not going to go nearly as far as it did this week as it is in Memphis. And so it's a contrast in not only, you know, weather, but golf courses. So it's going to be different, and people, they're going to need to be prepared for that. And I think it's always a little bit strange when you come out here, because you think in California, you think in West Coast, but San Francisco is a different climate than the rest of the country, for sure.
Yeah.
Andy, tell us a little bit about the history of Harding Park. You know, it was obviously a number of years ago. It's probably not obvious, but a number of years, it was a goat ranch, basically, right?
Yes.
And then it was revived. And just give us a little bit of a thumbnail about that and how an unbelievably great thing this is for municipal golf.
Yeah, you know, so like you said, it's a municipal golf course. Started in 25, Willie Watson is the designer. He built Olympic Club along with a bunch of others and really had a strong, rich history early. You know, the late 30s, 40s, and 50s saw lots of great golf, PGA Tour golf back then. And then as many things happen in big cities, right, budgets change, monies start to go to different places, and they stop going to the golf course. And it really just hit its real low in the late 90s when Olympic Club was hosting a U.S. Open and Harding Park was became a parking lot, you know, and that's how low it really got. And then a great man, Sandy Tatum, along with, you know, Mayor Willie Brown and a lot of other folks in the city just thought that was a tragedy and that there needed to be something done about it. And they went about raising a bunch of money, renovating the golf course, you know, with the help of Tim Finchems of the world, David Pillsbury's, and those folks all wanted this to happen. And so it did. We got a renovation. We got a new clubhouse, and it got sold to the city because of major championships like we're going to host next week, PGA Tour events. And the promise of bringing those out here. And so with that, we have that renovation was ended in 2002. I've had some, you know, ups and downs with different ownership groups, different management groups, and TPC and the PGA Tour got involved with this property late 2009 and have been a part of it ever since. And the course is great, and I think you're going to see just a fantastic golf course next week for sure.
Yeah. Andy Stodaro is our guest.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. No, you go, Mike. Sorry.
I was just going to ask Andy because Andy Stodaro is our guest. He is out there in San Francisco, the TPC Harding Park, the site of the PGA Championship next week. But you spent many years in the Quad Cities at TPC Deer Run, home of the John Deere Classic, and certainly, I'm sure, a good experience for you. And I know we have lots of people listening out that way, rooting for you and glad to hear from you as well.
Well, it was a magical time. It's where I met Barry, you know.
Well, that makes it magical just, for sure.
Yes.
Goes without saying, that was really magical, yeah.
But the great people at the John Deere Classic, the great people at TPC Deer Run, I still, you know, keep up with all of them, love them, miss them very much. It was a special time, great place to raise some kids and be a part of what happens in the Quad Cities every year. And, you know, that's the difference, big cities and smaller communities, right? So the community sport at the John Deere Classic is there's no one better than the folks that live there and support that event. And it's different out here, right? So there's so many different things to do out in the West Coast, San Francisco, big city, lots of action downtown, and you know, lots of sporting events. And so even though it's a PGA Championship, it's definitely not as much of a community event out here as the John Deere Classic is in the Quad City. So I definitely miss that part of the equation, and all those people out there near Chicago.
Well, and one of the things that people probably noticed is your broadcast ability, you got such great training when you were part of the analyst crew at Channel 8 WQAD out there with Matt Randazzo and Corey Cuffler and the gang. So you were very refined broadcast abilities, and I think probably those San Francisco TV stations, maybe, you know, if they haven't signed you up yet, they're overlooking some great talent there, Andy.
I think you're onto something for sure. Those guys are very special. They allowed me to to figure my way through TV, and they don't have to worry. I'm not coming for their jobs for sure. They do a great job. They do a great thing over there, and they're great at what they do. But it took a while to figure it out, but I kind of got into the zone there towards the end for sure. It was fun.
Well, compare and contrast Deer Run, your experience there in terms of the number of rounds you would run through there in a day and versus what you're doing at Harding Park every day.
Well, I kind of mentioned it before. It's just, municipal golf in the city, right? So the residents of San Francisco just get a great deal to play a PGA Championship golf course, right? And it's no different. It's a Torrey Pines equation. It's the Bethpage Black in New York, right? And we kind of feel like we're in that from a golf course standpoint. So it's such a special track. So many people want to play it. And then when you're a resident of the city and you get to play it for under $80, it's a steal, right? And so constantly active Monday through Sunday. There's no letdown. Open 365. And I will give the San Francisco residents their due. They are a hearty bunch, and they understand when the fog comes in and the wind picks up and the rain comes down, they're still playing golf. And it's a bit of a grind, but it's so fun. The diversity that you see at our golf course, excuse me, is amazing, and more golf courses need to look to the model of TPC Harding Park. Juniors can play with the youth on course for $5. Yes, we make them wait till twilight, but just, are you kidding me? You know, we actively see just you know, hundreds of juniors every month. We have just the diversity of San Francisco and to be able to see it, senior rates. So, you know, it's open for everyone, and that's kind of an exciting thing to have the first tee of San Francisco based out of our clubhouse as well, to see those kids come through. We see 12,000 kids come through our clubhouse every year. Now, they don't all end up on the golf course because there's education involved, but to see that activity, and you know, it's a park in San Francisco. So my 18th hole cart path is also a walking path. So, you know, you want to talk about a difference. The first day ever, you know, I worked there to see a biker and someone, you know, walking their dog. It was like, whoa, what is going on here? But that's what makes it such a special place. It really is.
Well thanks so much for being on, Andy. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a great day, Andy.
Gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Too. That's Andy Stodero, head pro at TPC Harding Park, old friend from TPC Deer Run. Appreciate his time. Rex Hoggard from Golf Channel joined us. We also talked earlier to Curtis Malm from White Eagle. Barry, thank you again. Another
show. We need a three-hour show, Mike. We need a three-hour show. What the heck?
We'll talk to Mitch. We'll see about that for next week.
All right.
Although I won't hold
so
my
much.
Breath. Thank you, Barry. We appreciate All right. it. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be talking All right. about the PGA Championship. Our thanks to Adam Studzinski as well. Does a great job producing the show. That's Barry Cronin. I'm Mike Esposito. This is The Scorecard, 670 The Score.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.